seems clear that we have people moving here, perhaps would be more workforce age folks, but people are, the population is here. The second is education and the skills of that population. And I think that one, at least to my eye, one glaring observation or one glaring thing that's missing from the plan is education. How are we educating our young people? How are we going to continue to do that? How are we going to do it better? How are we going to make them, whether that's the primary school level or the secondary level? And then thirdly is land use. And in particular, I would like to call your attention to commercial land use. I notice in the plan that there are some provisions made for expedited review or density bonus or tax issues for green development, green building, and I applaud those efforts. In my professional life, I am heavily involved in those issues. But I would ask you to consider, could you take those same type of issues, density bonuses, tax breaks, expedited review, if those developers did something for economic development, for instance, using local contractors. I don't know how you police this, but perhaps this is a contractor economy. I have many friends, many proud people that work as electricians, as plumbers, as going through the boom and now not so much, these folks could use the work. Secondly, I would suggest that there is an opportunity to encourage mixed-use building, where we have retail or commercial, and we have office above that, and we have residential above that. I think those are opportunities, and also job providers to try and encourage folks who would bring jobs to the area to work with them in a public-private partnership, to work with them in intergovernmental cooperation to help those industries who want to move here and want to put our people to work to help them do so. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. You're next.
Good evening. My name's Sandy Spence. I live at 18471 Seashell Boulevard outside Lewis. Can't afford to live in Lewis. I would like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight. Some of my comments are fairly editorial in nature, but the consultant suggests that I offer them anyway so they get on the record. First of all, I think this is sort of editorial. On the first page of the housing element, it indicates that there's 38,209 vacant units of housing in the county, and that number sort of jumps off the page. It's 34% of all the housing units. And I think we need a footnote so that people understand what that is. I presume those are seasonal homes that were vacant on April 1st. So they may not, when it says vacant, it sounds like they're just sort of sitting there and nobody's mm-hmm. ever in them. The second page of the housing element has an outstanding table that shows the monthly housing costs as a percentage of household income in the past 12 months. And I would like to it's a big, long, page-long table that a lot of people wouldn't bother to look at. So I wanted to highlight that briefly. The first significant part of it says that for people that have an income of $20,000 or less, 23.6% of those people are paying more than 30% of their income for housing. That's very significant. And those people are classified generally as very low-income families. You get down to people whose income is between 20 and 35,000 dollars. 11% of those people are paying 30% or more. When you get up to the next level, it's 6.4% are paying 30% or more. The programs that are described in the goals and in the objectives of this plan focus entirely on almost entirely on people who have an income of 80% or more. So the people with the greatest need are left out. They're just left behind. Purely editorial, in the middle of page 7-3, there's a bullet point, the third bullet.